Speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, 1,000 names of Vishnu, and we'll continue to do so this evening, Krishna willing. Name 108 is Samatma. Sama means sameness. From Sanskrit to English, not much difference. Sameness, equanimity. Atma means self, soul, mind, body. These are synonyms. So the meaning given by the commentators is one who has an even mind. This is a repeated theme in Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna discusses or tells Arjuna, he discusses the quality of equanimity of mind. Equanimity of mind means to be not disturbed by happiness or distress. Means what is that? Dukheshvan udvignamana sukheshu vigata spriha. That in distress one should not be disturbed, and in happiness now everything's going well, not to be delighted. Samatvam yoga uchate. Krishna says that stability of mind or equanimity of mind, that is yoga. Yoga is said to be stability of mind. So this is achieved by having a vision of eternity and infinity. When one understands that whatever happens in this world, so what? Massive disaster, 200 people killed, 2,000 people killed, 200,000 people killed. Well, we don't like to hear that, but it's just one event in the eternal unfolding of time, the continuous unfolding of time. There will come a time when the whole universe is destroyed, so even 200,000 people passing away. In one sense, we're not pleased with it, but in another sense, seeing with the vision of eternity and infinity, it's just another blip in time and another pimple in the eternal ongoing of events. So, or if something bad happens to oneself, even there's severe pain, you think, well, anyway, who am I? I'm so insignificant and so small. Not to take oneself very seriously, not to be overly disturbed. Or even if one has great fortune, one wins the lottery. Of course, yogis don't buy lottery tickets anyway. But one is suddenly awarded millions of dollars, and all right, use it in Krishna's service. So that's samatvam, equanimity, for the that Krishna recommends, not to get overly involved and emotionally involved in the affairs of the world. In one sense, yes, because the devotee acts to try to help others to be uplifted, that their consciousness may be lifted so that they don't have to suffer the distress of the world, so that they may come out of this suffering. But in another way, detached, stoic would be the English word. So this quality is there in Krishna. It's not just something that he says you should have, but Krishna, he automatically has that, because Krishna, although he appears to be involved in the affairs of this world, he comes to this world with a specific purpose. Yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati bharata abhutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. To rectify imbalance in universal affairs, when by the influence of time, forces of adharma become prominent. Then Krishna comes to rectify the situation. So there's an apparent duality, which we'll find in many features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's detached and attached also. He's detached means he has no, he doesn't become involved in the emotional affairs on the platform of Rajaguna, of the conditioned souls. On the other hand, he wants to help them, but he wants to help them to come beyond the platform of being attached, so they can become attached to him. So this apparent dichotomy of in Krishna's personality, he's detached and attached, and there are many features of that, means that materially he has no attachment to anything. He's not petty. But spiritually he desires the well-being of all living beings. So Krishna is aloof from the affairs of this world. He gives us minute independence to attempt to enjoy this world or to turn our face toward him. He is upadrashtanumantacha. He sees everything. He is the witness of everything. And he allows the affairs of this world to go on. According to people's activities, if someone has performed some pious activities, Krishna will allow, all right, so you get the good result. Or if someone has performed some impious activities, all right, now you have to get the bad result. Krishna ordains all of that. But he's personally detached from all of this. Samatma, the same being. So this another understanding which another point there, that just to elaborate on that more. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for everyone. He's not attached to anything of this world. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dvesho Stina Priyaha. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. So intrinsically he's equal to everyone, because everyone is a jiva, everyone is a living being in relation to Krishna. But on the other hand, in the very next utterance, he says, Ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But those who worship me in devotion, Krishna says, I'm inclined to them. So that means everyone has the opportunity to be a devotee. And if one does take to devotional service, Krishna is naturally inclined toward them. But he doesn't debar anyone from devotional service or favor anyone. He's basically neutral with everyone. Now, another meaning of samatma, which the acharyas, at least in the commentaries given here, do not mention, is that he is the same person. Whether he appears in his original form is Krishna. Krishna is appears also as Rama, Nrsimha, Varaha, Vamana, Matsya, Kurma, as Jagannath, as the deity. He's the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He's Karna Dakshay Vishnu, Garbha Dakshay Vishnu, Shira Dakshay Vishnu. He's Balaram, Sankarshan. He's so many forms, but they're all the same person. They're not different. So that's an important point to understand. How Krishna, although appearing in many forms, is the same person. Although they appear to be quite different people, Rama and Krishna appear to be quite different personalities, but they're not. They're the same person, but accepting different roles. So, name 109, Samitaha, sounds similar, and the sum part is the same, but somewhat different meanings. It gives the idea of equality, that although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and superior to everyone in all respects, nevertheless, he plays as if he is equal to his devotees, or even less. As Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, the Mayavadis, they want to become one with God, but the devotees, they become more than God. As the father and mother, they are in a superior social position. Krishna serves them, at least superficially. Well, not superficially. It depends which perspective you look from. So, he accepts the role of being equal to those who approach him, especially those who approach him in friendship. Those who approach him as servants, he takes the role as master. Those who, out of pure love, approach him as lovers, female lovers, or as parents, Krishna takes an inferior position. And those who approach him as friends, Krishna plays with them as friends, takes an equal role. So we find that in playing with his friends, the friends of Krishna think that they're equal to him. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill, some of his friends said, well, Krishna, you've been holding it a long time, so why don't you take a break and we'll hold it? Because they think we play with Krishna every day. We wrestle with Krishna every day. So if he can hold this hill up, we can too. They have that feeling. Samatha, this name appears to be derived from the term accepted. This name signifies that he willingly accepted, even though he's superior to everyone, he accepted the role of being controlled by his parents. He took the role of a child. He appeared as if an ordinary member of human society and played the role of a child. Now, this outlook, this perspective is by those who accept Vishnu as supreme, but for those who or the original form, when we say Vishnu as supreme, Krishna as supreme, actually it's the same. We should always remember that Krishna and Vishnu are the same person. They're not different persons, but Gauriya Vaishnavas especially accept Krishna as the original and superlatively complete form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Krishna plays the role of the child, even though he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But actually, child Krishna stealing the butter, that is Krishna. It's not that he is God playing another role. You might say even that this boy who steals butter, sometimes he plays the role of God also. It's a different perspective. When he's in a more formal mood, then he's God. But actually his real position is stealing the butter and dancing with the gopis. So it's a question of perspective. Sammata, accepted, then it's understood that he's the only one who is accepted as the ultimate truth by the rishis and the Upanishads, or that part of the Vedas which specifically deals with the topic of the ultimate reality. So Vishnu is accepted as the truth. Now Shankaracharya gives another reading of this, which is quite possible by, or quite acceptable by terms of Sanskrit grammatics. Just the opposite, instead of samita, asamita, which means the opposite. Just like dvaita means dual, advaita means non-dual. So samita, asamita. So this can be understood to mean one who is limitless or immeasurable. Measurable, yes, to some extent. In some ways he may be understood, but not fully measurable. And if, which again means immeasurable. If we say immeasurable, it means impossible to measure in any way whatsoever. But here, immeasurable can be understood to mean that to some extent Krishna may be understood, but not fully. So another similar name, name 110, Samaha. One that is very similar to the discussion that's just gone on of the previous names. One who treats all of his devotees equally, or all living beings equally. Just that very word comes out, I just quoted that. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. So this is an essential quality of the Supreme Lord. If he was partial, he wouldn't be a very good God, would he? Just like if that is not appreciated when the ruler of a state or the leader of an institution is nepotistic, which means they put their family members in charge of all the different posts. But Krishna sees everyone equally. That's an essential quality of Bhagavan, is that he treats everyone equally. But another essential quality of Bhagavan is bhaktavatsalya, or being especially affectionate to his devotees. So these two are in apparent conflict. Another meaning that Shankaracharya gives is one who is the same at all times. So, Krishna is the same. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in this world, little more than 5,000 years ago. And he's in some other universe, way out there, way beyond the telescope's ability to see. Beyond this universe, or Sadaputta Prabhu suggested the term multiverse, because universe gives the idea that there's only one, uni. But the Vedic understanding is that there are many Brahmandas, or the description of Shastra, or egg-shaped universes, which are so multiverses. So Krishna's in another multiverse. And it's the same Krishna. Not that he changes, it's the same Krishna. In that way he's very, very dependable. If someone changes all the time, it's very difficult to depend on them or to have a relationship with them. If one day they're friendly to you and the next day they're, for no reason, they're unfriendly. You see some people like that. That they're very moody. One day you'll be talking with them all friendly and laughing and joking, and the next day they'll be in a bad mood. For no reason, they treat you rudely. So, it's very difficult to have a relationship with someone. Or it's very difficult if someone's a leader, but they're always changing their plans and changing their mind. And they start one project and then without finishing it, they decide, okay, forget that, let's start another one. You just can't work like that or live like that. But Krishna's not like that. Krishna's very steady. So this name is Sama, one who is the same at all times. Yeah, it's the same Krishna, a description of Krishna. That name will come up very soon. Pundarikaksha, lotus eyes. So it's not that Krishna's eyes become tired or worn out, and or it's the same. The descriptions of Krishna, his form, his qualities, which are being described here in Vishnu Sahasranam, they're the same. They don't change. Someone may change in different lifetimes, but Krishna doesn't. Now, it may appear that Krishna does change because it's accepted that chronologically, at least in terms of this universe, Rama came before Krishna. And before that, Nrsimha came. And they all seem to be quite different. But they're the same person, although appearing in different forms. And certainly, as Rama, Rama is always the same. Krishna is always the same. The personality is the same. Although, one of the qualities of Krishna, especially, is that he's very unpredictable. So he's, in that sense, he's not the same. We never know what he's going to do. But one thing's for sure, it's always very sweet, that quality, that central or most attractive quality of Krishna. Everything about him is very sweet, and that never changes. So, and a completely different interpretation of the name Sama is given by Shankaracharya. Sa-maya, who is always with Maya. And here he gives Maya to mean Lakshmi, because Lakshmi means energy also. Or mother. So he's always with Lakshmi, therefore he's Sama. Name 111. Amoghaha. Generally when we see words beginning with, or often when we see words beginning with a, the is a prefix, which it gives the opposite meaning of the rest of everything, which the rest of the word which follows. So in this case also, mogha. Mogha means futile. And amogha means not futile, not in vain. In other words, that everything Krishna does, it's meaningful, it's unerring, it's successful. So, the meaning is given is that one who worships Krishna, their worship of him does not go in vain. It's not like everything in this world. What is that? It's futile. It is bifale shevenu kripana durajana chapala shukala balagire edhana jovana edhana jovana putra parijana iteki ache paratitire kamala dala jala jivana talamala. The description of life in this material world is summed up thus, that we work serving miserly people. What for? We perform hard work serving people who don't care for us. What for? Uselessly working, serving nasty people just so that we can get a little bit of sense gratification. What is that sense gratification? We have our family, we have our home, we have some money, we have some social status, but it's all flickering. It's all temporary, like a drop of water on a lotus leaf is sure to fall down. So in the same way, this is all sure to finish. So that is life in material world. But the worship of Krishna is never futile. Any little service done toward Krishna is always to approach Krishna in love. They achieve the success of going back to Godhead. We make so much effort for sense gratification in this material world. And the result is what? Janma mrityu cha vyadhi, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. We get birth, death, old age and disease again and again and again and again. And a little worship of Krishna, and we go to Krishna to live an eternal blissful life. In the Ramayana, Lord Rama is addressed thus, or about Lord Rama, and stated, this term amogha is used. Amogham darshanam Rama nacha mogha tavastavaha amoghaste bhavishyanti bhakti mantascha yenaraha. To see Rama, it never goes in vain. It's not without a, it's always with a positive result. To praise Rama is also, it's never just some waste of time. It always has a very positive result. Those, in future, all, in every case, those who with devotion, they will always get a positive result. So you may think, well, what's the use of this Krishna consciousness? We should always understand. Svabhavapyasya dharmasya trayato, trayato mahato, mahato bhayat. At the very least, a little practice of Krishna consciousness will save us from falling into a hellish situation. And if we persist with this, then by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can go back to Godhead and experience eternal blissful life with Krishna. So, Krishna also, we may think, what's the one name, in one name of Krishna? Oh, that Srila Prabhupada gave one of his disciples, Amogha Leela, his pastimes. They're not just some bucolic frivolities, just someone jumping around in the forest. But Krishna's pastimes, they are meaningful. Whereas everything else is meaningless. What's the latest news? What's going on in the world? Anything? Fighting in Syria? The Olympic Games just finished. What else? Anything? Baba Ramdev in Delhi is announced that he's fasting till death. Then he called it off after 3 days and has a new plan now. That's the big news in India. I see the Indian headlines. So these are all big events in the world. Okay. But meaningless. Who was the... There are so many states. There used to be like little kingdoms in Germany. Or they were the... In charge of these different, there was this Saxony and Bayern and all the. So which one was this? This Berlin. Poisson. Okay, and what was that? In charge of them, or there'd be not a king, but a baron or something like that? King? And kings. Okay, so who was the king of Poisson 200 years ago? You're all living in Berlin. Anyone? No, no one knows. But 200 years ago, he must have been a very important person here, right? Everyone would know his name. He'd go past on his horse, and everyone would say, Jai, or whatever they say. Whatever they say in German for this. And but now he's completely forgotten. And what he would have... hold court with his barons and make some decisions and so on, the latest political events, just like Baba Ramdev in Delhi. It's in India. You maybe never even heard of Baba Ramdev. Who's heard of L.K. Advani? Heard of Baba Ramdev? Yeah, okay. L.K. Advani, who's heard of him? See, he's a big name in India. He's the head of the BJP, the main opposition party. But in Germany, who knows, who cares? This Shah Rukh Khan, ever heard of him? No. Twice when he went to America, he was like given a heavy questioning by the immigration authorities because he's got a Muslim name. Well, he's a Muslim of sorts. He's the biggest movie actor in India. It's, you know, extremely. You've heard of him? Yeah, it's like in India, at least in North India, in the Hindi-speaking area, and everyone knows Shah Rukh Khan, but in America, no one ever heard of him. So, in India, whatever he does is considered very significant. But in America, no one can ever even heard of him. So, it may seem that what he does is very significant. What L.K. They always give his name L.K. Advani. Actually, his name is Lal Krishna Advani. But because they're envious of Krishna, they just put it as L.K. They never put Lal Krishna. So, Krishna is dancing in the... What's the news? Krishna's dancing in the forest. He's pretending to be sick, has a headache, and therefore he's begging from the dust from his devotees' feet to put on his head to cure his headache. Krishna's calling for his cows, all different names of his cows. He has so many cows. He said, so what? What's all that about? Some boy 5,000 years ago took some cows in the forest. What are you making such a big thing of? I mean, there are real life issues. There's fighting going on in Syria. There's ecological disaster. We have to do something about it. We have to be good citizens and cast a vote. If you don't vote, you're not a good citizen. So we're told in India. So, this is all mogha. Moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasaha rakshasim asarin chaiva mohinim. What is that? Mohinim shitaha. Prakritim mohinim shitaha. Everything, what all the big karmis and jnanis and everyone who's a non-devotee, whatever they do is simply frustrated. They think they're doing big, big things. It's all frustrated. They remain bewildered in material nature. But what Krishna does, that is meaningful. Because, well, from our perspective, what is meaningful? What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is to dance in the forest with Krishna. Really? Big, big philosophers. What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is, whoop, we better watch out. Krishna will steal your lunchbox, or someone else is stealing his lunchbox. No, no, we're talking about philosophy. Philosophy, yes, this is the culmination of philosophy. As Srila Prabhupada once said, my only desire is to go back to Godhead and steal Krishna's ladus. So the meaning of life is to join Krishna as he quietly sneaks into someone's house and enters the butter store, breaks the pot, eats as much butter as he can, feeds it all to his friends, feeds the monkeys. This is the meaning of life. Difficult to understand for the great philosophers. So whatever Krishna does is meaningful. And yes, and those who understand that, then janma karma cha me divyam evangyo veti tatva taha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sojana. One who understands that Krishna's appearance in this world and his activities are beyond the modes of material nature and therefore meaningful, whereas everything in this world being conducted by the modes of material nature
simply results in futility. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Getting born again, dying again. Whereas Krishna's, by understanding Krishna to be beyond the modes of material nature, one goes to Krishna and lives with Krishna. So that is meaningful. Why? Because the meaning of life is what? What is the purpose of life? I was present when a journalist asked this to Srila Prabhupada, and I was surprised by Prabhupada's answer. What is the meaning of life? Very good question. And Prabhupada answered, the meaning of life is to enjoy. I was surprised. Right? And Prabhupada explained that everyone wants to be happy, but no one is happy in this material world. So we should find out what is the actual platform of enjoyment, which is with Krishna. So that is meaningful. And everything is sustained by bliss. But Krishna is all blissful. And everything exists for Krishna's pleasure. Whereas in this material world, because we're trying to be happy without Krishna, it doesn't work. So everything Krishna does is for his happiness. And that is meaningful, to be happy with Krishna. And everything else is a flop, failure. It's all in vain. So, name 112. Pundarikaksha. One whose eyes are beautiful like the lotus flower. This is, so many comparisons are given of Krishna. Various parts of his body are compared to the lotus. This Kunti Devi praise, this, what is that? Namaste. Huh? Nama Pankaja, Nama Pankaja Nabhaya, Nama Pankaja Manane, Nama Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Angraye. She praised to him who has lotus navel, lotus garland, lotus eyes, and lotus feet. So the lotus is fortunate to be used as a metaphor for describing Krishna. Although Krishna exceeds the beauty of anything, and whatever beauty is in anything comes from Krishna. So it's these names, they're an expression of the, some attempt to express the beauty of Krishna, which is beyond any linguistic description. But nevertheless, it's pleasing to hear, pleasing to think of. How beautiful is Krishna? His eyes are just like lotus petals. Now, another meaning given. Is that we hear, as Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesh Ajuna Tishtati. That in the Shastra it describes there's a space in the heart where the Jiva resides and Krishna also resides there. So, so another, by linguistic analysis, he gives the meaning is given that one who is present in the heart. Then another meaning is that he is the eye of the residence of Vaikuntha, or the supreme. Pundarikam means param dhama nitya aksharam avyayam. So Pundarika is here understood to mean the transcendental world, which is eternal, indestructible and immutable. So Krishna is like the eye for that world. Or this is given in Mahabharata, some different meaning. So Krishna is the eye of that world means everyone there sees by the grace of Krishna, and they do not wish to see anything but Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada writes, in Vrindavan, Krishna is the cynosure of all eyes. Means that everyone likes to see Krishna. The gopis, they complain that Lord Brahma, he didn't create very well, because he made eyes that blink. And in a blinking, in that blinking time, we don't see Krishna. So that's intense Krishna consciousness, always wanting to see Krishna. He's more beautiful at every... Pundarikaksha, he's so very beautiful. He's unlimitedly beautiful. But he becomes more beautiful at every moment. He's always freshly more beautiful. So that doesn't seem to be possible. If something's already unlimitedly beautiful or unlimitedly whatever, how can it become more? How can it be more than unlimited? But it becomes more, Krishna's beauty becomes more unlimited at every moment. So, name 113. Vrsha karma. Karma is the well-known term, means action. And vrsha, in this context, is translated as dharma, or virtue. So, he who always performs righteous activities, whatever he does is good. So someone may criticize, why does Krishna do this and that, why does he do something wrong? But Krishna never does anything wrong. If we think that he's done something wrong, by that very thought we are doing wrong. Because everything he does is for the welfare of the world in all respects, even though if we judge from our limited and contaminated perspective, we might think that Krishna is doing something wrong. But actually, everything Krishna does is perfect in all respects. So if we hear about Krishna with faith and love, even pastimes like dancing with the gopis who are superficially others' wives, stealing the gopis' clothes, stealing butter, inducing Pandavas to kill their opponents by apparently unfair means. No, God is always good. Everything he does is correct and proper and perfect. So that's a very important point to understand. Exactly how Krishna's inducing Yudhishthira to tell a lie, although he never told a lie before, that is righteous. Well, it's a big topic to describe each, the circumstances and the effect and all the different points, but the basic point can be understood as on principle, that whatever Krishna does is right. Another meaning is given, that he fulfills his devotees' desires. He makes in the sense that he fulfills, by karma, he makes active or fulfills their righteousness. So he brings into fulfillment. Yeah. He himself is of righteous actions and he fulfills the devotees, he gives the results of proper activities. So name 114 is Vrishakriti. Oh no, sorry, no, it's Vrishakriti. It's a different meaning altogether. Vrishakriti. He is the very form of dharma. So that's a very similar name. Particularly this refers to Lord Rama, because Krishna, although he says that he comes to reestablish dharma. But, well, for worldly dharma, Rama, see, Maryada Purushottam, the form of the Supreme Lord, who came to establish the principles of living in this world according to worldly righteousness, such as that one should serve and obey one's parents, one should protect one's wife. Accepting one wife is considered better, although in Vedic culture it's allowed to accept more. So does that mean that Krishna is less righteous than Rama? No. But Rama showed the path for human beings in general, and Krishna, he acted for his own pleasure. So Krishna is to be worshipped but not imitated. And Rama is to be worshipped and his example to be followed. Of course, some of the things Krishna did we should follow also. Just like Krishna, he respects the Brahmanas. So we should also do that. So we have to discriminate. But particularly, we have to discriminate Krishna's various activities, which are to be followed and which are not to be attempted to follow. It's not a very good idea to attempt to accept 16,108 wives, because there's no one who can maintain so many wives. Or even if they could maintain, they wouldn't be able to personally interact with so many. Although Krishna personally interacted with every single wife, so there's no blemish in his doing so. Of course, marrying many wives is better than marrying one, divorcing, marrying again, divorcing. We're better to having accepted a wife to, if you want to have another one, keep the first one also, and not just throw them out. Anyway, that's another discussion altogether. Another translation of this is Vrishakriti, is that his form is supremely handsome. The very the dharma of an aka, or the properness of a form. Form is perfectly revealed, or the perfection of form is Krishna. So there are so many descriptions of Krishna's form. How it is. That name is given, Pundarikaksha, his lotus eyes. So many descriptions are given of how his form is supremely beautiful. So that is summed up. All those attributes of Krishna's beautiful features are summed up in the name Vrishakriti. So, Hare Krishna. Any questions about this? Yeah. In other ages, various Vishnu forms come. Can people develop devotion to Krishna in other ages before Krishna comes? Well, we find Prahlad Maharaj, he's described as Krishna Graha, which means he is as if haunted by Krishna. He was Krishna conscious. He said to Hiranyakashipu, Matyena Krishne Paratasvatova, because people are not inclined toward Krishna, all their efforts are. And although he also said, what is that? Nate vidu swartagating hi Vishnum. People do not know their ultimate god of life is Vishnu. So, people who are devotees of Nrsimha, they will go to Nrsimha. Prahlada is aware of Krishna, but Nrsimha, he particularly appeared as Nrsimha. And Prahlada is described as, Nrsimha is described as Prahlada Hlada Dayan, or one who gives. Prahlada means very happy, and Nrsimha is described as Prahlada Hlada Dayan, we sing every day. One who is the giver of happiness by which Prahlada is happy. So, yeah, there are various forms, and people are attracted to different forms, and they, according to their Yadrishi, Yadrishi, Shraddha, Siddhi, Bhavati, Tadrishi, according to people's various faiths or inclination, they attain various kinds of perfection. So those who are devotees of Rama, they go to Rama. Those who are devotees of Nrsimha, they go to Nrsimha. Those who are devotees of Krishna, they go to Krishna. Unless one is on the very elevated platform of Raghunath Das Goswami, we can't see anything wrong in going to Vaikuntha. We're not going to run down to Sri Rangam and tell everyone, stop, stop, don't go to for darshan of Raghunath Das Goswami. Just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went every day while he was in Sri Rangam for 4 months, went daily for darshan. He did in private conversation with Venkata Bhatta. He instructed that actually the form of Krishna is more relishable than that of Narayan. But then he finished the conversation by saying that having convinced Venkata Bhatta in terms of a philosophical understanding that Krishna, the form of Krishna is more relishable than that of Narayana, he concluded, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concluded by saying that actually they're both the same person. When philosophically understood, but in terms of relishing rasa, then Krishna is to be understood to be superior. But we shouldn't overly emphasize this to the point of saying that, well, Vishnu's inferior or any such thing. That to say such things can be very dangerous for our own devotional understanding, and it would bring great pain and anger to the many devotees of Vishnu, which that would be an offense to Vishnu and to his devotees. So, very carefully, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did among among a devotee who was very very devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was personally serving him for 4 months, such points may be discussed. Otherwise, we don't want to fight with Vaishnavas on such matters. Rather, we'll join with them. And in friendly discussions, we may say, Krishna is supreme, but we don't want to make them. It's not like fighting Mayavadis or atheists. That's my outlook. I mean, I spend a lot of time in South India and meet so many Vaishnavas who are devotees of Vishnu. So we should congratulate that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also accepted. We find in Chaitanya Charitamrita quotations from Yamuna Acharya Stotra Ratnam, and this Stotra Ratnam Mukunda Mala, these are saturated with bhakti. In the Padavali also of Rupa Goswami, so many quotations from the South Indian Acharyas. So, anything else? Can they reach Krishna Bhakti? Well, Chaitanya Charitamrita opens with Anarpita Chiring Chirad Kurunya Avatirno Kalo Samapiyotamana Tajvala Rasa Swabhakti Shriya. Description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who brought a kind of bhakti that had not been offered in a very long time prior to that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings or offers or gives bhakti to Krishna of an intimate, intense quality, which is generally not available. The devotees of Krishna, certainly. But the intensity, the Vraja Bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed, especially Ramya Ka Chittu Pasana Vraja Madhu Vargena Ya Kalpitada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the bhakti of the gopis of Vrindavan to be the topmost method of worship. So that's a special gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has analyzed, that is also there in the Nimbarka Sampradaya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He took two principles from every Sampradaya. So from the two principles he took from the Nimbarka Sampradaya was the specialty of the gopis worship and the special. That's one thing. Was there the special position of Radha? I don't remember exactly. But that was there. But even the principles that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from other sampradayas, he incorporated them in this. Chronologically, we can say he incorporated. They were there prior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming, but he brought that to new heights, which is not seen in the world ever previously. So, we have a long way to go from a little preaching center in Berlin, which might seem in all of Berlin to be something quite insignificant, but we have to, from the consideration of the residents of Berlin, but the devotees here have to go beyond Vaikuntha, beyond Mathura and Dwarka, beyond Ayodhya, and to the completely blissful, lawless land of Vrindavan. The only law there is love. So it's a long way to go. We should go. We should all go. We should all study Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have to read all the books. Gita. Generally we discuss Gita, Bhagavatam. We should gradually discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita, all these topics also. Gradually. Yeah. Don't forget Bhagavad Gita, all this also. Dhyato Vishayan Punsan Sangas Teshu Vajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama. We can't just jump over this and pretend that we don't have material desires which hold us in this material world, but ultimately we have to go there. Right? That's Gaudiya teachings, right? It's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. So yes, we have to be cognizant of our present position, and for public preaching and among the devotees, newcomers, we have to teach them Gita philosophy, and Gita leads to Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam can be properly understood through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a very great quest from falling in the door of the Hare Krishna temple half or more intoxicated, relishing the prasadam, gradually taking interest, taking up Krishna consciousness, and we're not really sure what we're doing, to entering Krishna's Raja Leela. It's a very long way to. It's just like such a big difference between one level and the other, but that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Dino Hino Joto Chilo Hari Naame Udharila. All those who are very fallen and lowly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked them up by the method of Harinama. So, congratulations to all of you for maintaining this preaching center, maintaining enthusiasm. It's a struggle, no doubt, in many ways. But this also attracts the mercy of Krishna. There's no doubt. Those who take difficulty for Krishna, Krishna appreciates that. And we find all the great devotees who are mentioned in the millions and of Vaishnavas, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindavas. There are millions of devotees. In Bhagavatam we find the descriptions of who? Prahlad, Ambarish, the Pandavas, the Gopis. They all took difficulty for Krishna. Bhakti is tested in difficulty. Krishna says, Patrang Pushpang Palang Tao Yam Yome Bhaktya Prayapchati Tadaham Bhakti Paharitama Shavi Prayatatmana. If you offer me a leaf, flower, fruit, or water with devotion, I will accept it. Then Arjuna could have said, okay, great, so what do I need to fight this battle for? But Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, okay, you just go home and worship the deity. Arjuna had to worship Krishna by shooting arrows, by killing the people, specifically the people he didn't want to kill. That was his service, tough service. And Arjuna, he really didn't want to do it. And he had good reason to not want to do it. But Krishna wanted him to do it, and that became his devotional service. It was difficult for Arjuna, not so much the difficulty of fighting and defeating great warriors, because that's what Kshatriyas do. They like the challenge. Sukhina, Kshatriya Parta, Labhante Yudhami Drisham. Happy. The Kshatriyas become happy at the opportunity to fight. So that wasn't the difficulty. Arjuna didn't have any. The concept of fighting, that wasn't a problem for Arjuna. He'd been trained since birth to do that, and he'd killed literally thousands of people in his lifetime for the sake of dharma. But having to fight Bhishma, especially Bhishma, Drona, especially those two, Arjuna found that revolting to have to fight against his gurus. But Krishna told him, you have to do it. So Arjuna became glorious by doing what Krishna wanted him to do. Of course, that shouldn't be misunderstood, that we have to fight our relatives. Sometimes people say that, but that's in India, it's never been misunderstood like that. People say that the Bhagavad Gita induces you to fight and kill your relatives, but it's never been misunderstood in India that that's a general prescription for everyone. That was specifically for Arjuna. And it may be for any Kshatriya in a similar situation. But that's for Kshatriyas. They have to do that. And even in modern warfare, that if there are two armies and one's brothers and the other opposing army, when it comes to battle, you have to fight. There's no question, because he's my brother, he's in the other army, then we won't fight. Then you're not a soldier. You're not fit to be a soldier.